Take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of John, chapter 13. The book of John, chapter 13. Turn in there to verse 1. I'm also trying to find another passage, if you'll give me just a minute. All right, John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for your word to be preached in power and strength. I pray, God, that you might be honored today. I pray that you would grow the church spiritually, Father, and also physically. And Father, I pray that you might speak to us from your word, that we might make proper application in our life when the Holy Spirit speaks to us this morning. Thank you for all that's been done so far this morning. I pray that there be one here today that's never made a profession of faith today, never placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, God, that today would be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach today, as you see in the bulletin, a love for people, but also a love for the church, amen. You know, Jesus talked about in verse 1, having loved them, he talked about his disciples, unto the end. You know, we have a responsibility as a church, yes, to love one another. And I think a lot of times we do that too good, amen? But also we have a responsibility to love those who are not of the church, amen? One of the great hallmarks of the believer in Christ is that we may be known as a loving people. Now, a loving people doesn't excuse sin, amen? Loving people doesn't say, well, you know, you can live your lifestyle and walk the fence, or, you know, say you're a Christian. No, living a lifestyle that's not not consistent with the Word of God really shows you're not a believer, amen? And so one of the hallmarks, though, of a Christian is to be a loving people, loving Christian, loving believers. Jesus made it clear his disciples in verse 35 of John 13. He says, by this, what? From verse 34. By this, all men, know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If you love somebody, you're not going to treat them unkindly, right? If you love one another, you won't find yourself backbiting them. Listen, if they'll talk about you behind your back, guess what? Or talk about someone else, they'll talk about you. Amen? That's not love. But Jesus said that by this all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. As we think about love today, loving people, we know that when we do this, it's often risky. I heard a preacher that I like from time to time. I heard him say one time that he said this about giving. He said, if you give to somebody expecting to get something in return, then don't give it. He said, but if you love somebody and you know they have a need and you have it to give, give it, but don't expect anything in return. And that's how it is with love. A lot of times we give love. A lot of times I hear people say, well, they're not friendly, they're not loving. Well, if you want friends, you got to be friendly, the Bible says, right? And you got to show love. So, but sometimes loving people can be risky. It is often outside of our comfort zones to love others that may not be exactly like us, may not worship like we do, may not, you know, dress up or may not come to church like we do or may not act like we do. Sometimes it's difficult to love other people. Yet Jesus said that we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. I wonder if we really love our neighbors as ourselves. How many like yourself? You know, and where we lived in Dawsonville, there are a lot of people that didn't like themselves because they were killing themselves. But a person that loves themselves will take care of themselves. And Jesus said, if you love yourself, as much as you love yourself, you ought to love someone else. Love your neighbor. In Matthew 22:39, the word neighbor is an interesting word in the Greek and Latin. The root of the word neighbor is nigh or near, which means to draw nigh or close to someone. Now, it's easy to draw near or nigh to those in your church. Amen? Right? Well, I don't know. Is it? Amen. Sometimes, though, people come in our church and instead of feeling welcome and loving, a lot of times what they feel or what they see is not that. A lot of times they see a group of people that's been here a while, or they see a group of people that have their own little cliques. Do we have cliques in the church? Come on, do we have cliques in the church? Yeah, we do, don't we? Now, we may not always mean to. We may not want to come across that way, but often we do. We come across that way. Martha's church in Columbus, not long after she'd been there, she went to Sunday school and she come out and she'd been sitting at this particular seat and a woman come up to her and said, you know, that is my seat. And she had to move. You know, we laugh at that, but you know, not only do we create cliques in the church and little groups of my group and your group, and you know, that's the problem a lot of times in churches. You got, no offense, young folks, you get young folks that sit in the back and older folks that sit up front because they can't hear. I'm one of them. But and so sometimes there's a distance between the two. If you go to Timothy and Titus, where Paul is speaking to the church, he's talking about older women training younger women, older men training younger men. Listen, we should not have a separation in the church. Amen? We are to be mingling together. Maybe we ought to try that, Brother Ken. Our pastor, it's funny, our former pastor, let me say that, Brother Ken. Our former pastor, our church was a fairly large church, and so people sat everywhere. So when we had the Lord's Supper on Sunday night, instead of having 16 ushers to try to, or deacons or whoever to serve, he'd move everybody in to the first big section in the middle. Boy, and then he'd sometimes ask them at the end to hold someone's hand. And we get a little bit, you know, spooky about that. Why? We're to love one another. Do you love your family? Do you hold your spouse? Do you love being around family? I'm getting off my text a little bit, but I'm trying to get you to, you know, let go of the comfort zones. It's okay to love people. Amen? It's okay to love the church. And so, in fact, Jesus said, love your neighbor. It means to draw nigh, close to someone. Jesus said we're to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. In other words, we're to draw close to those around us, not only to the believers, but to those. You know what? You spend more time, those that are still working, you spend more time with the people you work with than your own family, right? How many work 8 hours? 10 hours. Now, some of you might work with your family, Brother Keith. that good or bad, I don't know. But anyways, it seems like a good relationship. But nonetheless, when I go to work, I spend more time around the people in that dispatch center than I do my own family. And so while I'm there, I can't always share the gospel, but I can be the gospel. I can let the Lord shine through my life, through what I say, my words, go the extra mile. When I was being interviewed for, I actually took an initial position called a call taker. And then, because Florida has changed since I left, you have to have a 911 statewide certification. And though they grandfathered me in, for the hours. I still have to take the state exam coming up sometime in September. But I forgot where I was going with that. See, it happens when you get old. Being around people. And so sometimes, you know, it's difficult to, I forgot, let me move on. It must not have been important. Amen. So we're going to love God. We're going to love people. So we're close to those people. I'm around those people all the time who I work with. And so in that time that I'm with them, I can go in moody, grumpy. That's not me. Most time I'm cheerful, happy, helpful, want to be, humble, because I want them to see Jesus in me. The Bible said, do everything you do, do it to the glory of God. Amen? Whether you eat, whether you drink, whether you work, whether you sleep. I don't know how we can glorify God. Maybe having good thoughts. I don't know. But nonetheless. Sometimes we need to break down the walls around us. Get out of the comfort zones. These are people that we're to love, people we work with, people that we are around. People need to see Jesus. Think about the 12 disciples. These were men with many different issues. You say, well, you know, in fact, some of them were so different, we can identify with them, like Peter. How many can identify with Peter sticking his foot in his mouth? Amen? And then there's some we really can't identify with. One was Judas. Think about Jesus and the position that he was in, that not only did he call those men, all 12 of them, he ministered to them, he loved them. And yet, the Bible says one was of the devil. Yet Jesus loved them to the end. It is difficult to love people that are not like us, that are mean to us, that hate us, that seek to do us harm and mistreat us. But may I say, when this occurs, it is cause for us to show them the greater love of Christ. Did you know 100 years from now won't make a difference what kind of 401k you have? Won't matter what kind of house you have? Won't matter what kind of job you have? But what will make a difference 100 years from now, what'd you do with Jesus while you were here? How did you show him? How did you flesh him out so that people can see him in your life, hear him in your words, see him in your compassion? Comfort them. See, often the flesh wants to not respond Christian or lovingly. A lot of times the flesh wants to lash out, wants to speak its mind. And yet the Spirit of God calls us to be different. Amen? Be different. But you can't be different if you're not soaking your mind and your heart in the Word of God. Paul said in Romans 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You may prove, you may know. Paul said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and be conformable unto his death. Do we have such an earnest, eagerness, a desire to know him like Paul wanted to know him? The disciples loved him. The disciples spent time with him. So sometimes it's tough to step out on a limb, to love somebody, to help somebody, to do something for somebody. But you must do it with the thought that I may not get a return. And don't ever do it because you're looking for a return of love. Amen? So quickly, let me share with you three things. Number one, a love for people begins with seeing the example of love. Verse 1 through 20, I won't read those verses, but we see here the picture of this love. The God of the universe is washing. In verses 2 and following, we see the God of the universe, Jesus, washing the dirty feet of the disciples. the example of love, not just of love, but of service. Sometimes we won't even go across the room to help somebody or do something for somebody. Jesus, He, the God of heaven, fully God, fully man, took up that towel and that basin of water, and He went to those disciples as they were leaning. They were in a kind of a U-shaped, and they were leaning over. And Judas would be on Jesus' left, and John, the beloved, would be at the breast of Jesus. And as Jesus would take that basin of water and that towel, and He would begin to wash those old dirty feet of the disciples. Let me tell you, Jesus was an example of love, but also of service. And listen, if Jesus can wash the disciples' feet, if Jesus can love those disciples that were not perfect, and if Jesus loves us, why can't we love and serve one another? Amen? One would have to wonder if they were thinking in their own hearts prior to this. It was not custom that the master would wash the servant's feet. But it was custom for the Gentiles or the hostess of the home to, as the guests were coming in, would take a towel and wash their feet off. Yet Jesus, He just wasn't our Savior, but He was a servant. And Mark pictures Jesus as the suffering servant who gave His life, who served, who gave His life a ransom for many. And Jesus served, and He's an example, and He loved the disciples. He showed that in what He did. Think of the two pairs of feet that were washed in this example. Peter, oh proud Peter, have you ever tried to do something for someone too proud to receive it? That was Peter. Not me, Lord. What did he say? Not me, Lord. And then later he said, wash all of me. And Jesus said, you're already clean. And so, sometimes when you want to do something for someone, and sometimes we're this way in the church. Oh, I'm okay. I don't need help. It's not that we don't need help. Sometimes it's pride that keeps us from receiving the help. Listen, don't rob someone else of the blessing. Amen? But also think of this second example, Judas. Evil Judas. And I bring him up because when you love people, people will often disappoint you. Judas, he was like one that would stab you in the back. Has anyone ever stabbed you in the back after you were kind to them? Verse 18 says, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Jesus, in the period of those 3.5 years, as Jesus poured His life into those men, even Judas was able to see the love, the friendship, the closeness, the servanthood. He could even see the Savior. And yet even Judas spurned, rejected, hated the love of Christ. Sometimes when people do us wrong, what's our first inclination? Or, I won't do that again. They need help? I ain't coming to help them. Now, I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't say that to us. Amen? I mean, how many of us have failed God even this morning? I'm so glad that Jesus is not out there wringing His hands, Brother Ken, and saying, oh, they blew it today. They can forget it. I gave them grace yesterday and mercy, but today they're on their own. No, no, no. We have a God in heaven that loves the church, that loves you and me. Amen? And the Bible says in James, He gives good gifts to men. So, if He can show love, then guess what? We can too. Amen? So we see Jesus, the example. He abandoned his rights. He washed the most holy one, the one worthy of our worship and praise. Yet we find the humble Savior surrendering his rightful place, coming and being a servant of love before his men. Number two, Jesus accepted the responsibility of service, verse 4 and 5. Again, he picked up the basin and began to wash their feet. Genuine love never becomes genuine love until we go beyond our position and pick up the responsibility to be that example of love. You can tell me all day long that you love me, and I can tell you all day that I love you, but genuine love shows it. You know, 1 Corinthians 13, that whole list of, and it talks about charity. It's a giving love. It's a giving love, right? Now, should I pick on them or not? I'm not sure. But recently married, Ansley, if you never told your husband you loved him, never showed, your marriage wouldn't last too long, would it? No, or vice versa. You know, and sometimes showing love, I don't know who did it, I saw the post, but I don't know if it was your house or someone else's house. Someone put flowers on the door handle of the Jeep, and I thought, man, that, you know, or leaving notes of love to your spouse, or sending notes of love to one another and sure, hey, I'm praying for you, or send me a Facebook post. Hey, I love you. Hey, I know you're having a hard time, but I want you to know I'm praying for you. Goes a long ways. Amen. But also quickly, number two, we see the vulnerability of love, verse 21 through 30. When Jesus had thus said this, he was troubled in his spirit and testified, verily, verily, I am saying to you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. And now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, and that he should ask who it should be of him whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after that sop, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. No man at that table knew for what intent he spake unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had sent him buy those things that we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So we see here the vulnerability of love. This vulnerability means being open to attack, capable of being wounded. They were in such a close knit. Again, Judas was close. John was close. And yet, even in the closeness, they couldn't hear or maybe even understand what Jesus was saying to Judas. And yet, I believe, and even in that moment, I believe it grieved the Lord's heart. I believe it grieved him that Judas would go out and betray him. But you know, this is how love is. Love, it often is risky business. This vulnerability is seen in the seating again. See, loving other people can be risky, and at times people will hurt you, even disappoint you, but that doesn't mean that we quit loving. Amen? We don't need to quit loving. You never know how your continued love will make a difference in someone's life. My niece's husband, it pained me greatly when she married him because he was a Mormon and she was a believer. I guess she didn't know the difference. I don't really know. But nonetheless, it pained us greatly. But about a year ago, I guess, I was flipping through Facebook and one of our men in our church had sent me a video of a Mormon missionary that had went out and he was knocking on doors And he came to a door of a Baptist preacher, and the Baptist preacher ended up leading him to faith in Christ. Well, the missionary went back to his conference, was supposed to give a report of how his first week went. He went back and he gave the report of how Jesus saved him and changed his life. They kicked him out. Now, I share that to tell you this. Love often is risky. So when I got that video, I tagged my niece's husband in it, who's Mormon. I mean, deeply Mormon. Family, I mean, they're all from up there in Utah and those places. I mean, but before I did that, I prayed about it. I said, God, he may write me off, but I'm going to send it anyways. So several weeks went by. I never heard anything. So I asked my niece one day, I said, Jennifer, did Dan ever say anything to you about watching a video about a Mormon getting saved? She said, oh, I've been meaning to tell you. I thought, oh boy, here we go. Said he hasn't quit watching it. Love is risky. And what God has done since he started watching that video, God began doing a work in his heart. He turned away from Mormonism. When he went out to see his mom, he didn't go to their temple. He didn't go with them. He told them, I don't believe that stuff anymore. He's been going with my niece to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My sister told me yesterday on the way to work, Dan went out and bought him a King James Bible. Let me tell you, love is risky. Yes, the possibility was for him to say, I don't want nothing to do with your family. Sometimes we won't go that extra step because we're afraid to lose a friend or co-worker. But you don't know what God will do with your word spoken or a video given or help given through a seed that is planted. Dr. Adrian Rogers said, you want love, then give it away. And when you give it away, you will receive love. Love is risky. Love is vulnerable. But also, I want to turn in just a moment. Love also covers a multitude of sins. Amen? When Chassie would blow it, kids don't ever blow it, do they? I would often say to Chassie, love covers a multitude of sins. Does it mean that we condone it? But it means we love them through it. Amen? Joseph is a type of Christ, mistreated by his brothers, sold to a band of gypsies, was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, thrown into prison, forgotten about by a fellow freed inmate, was finally released for interpreting some dreams. And yet, when his brothers came into the picture again, instead of being mean to them, he loved them, he wept over them, he blessed them, he renewed their relationship with them. And that, my friend, is a godly love. Let's go to Genesis chapter 45 this morning. And I love these verses. Chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out for me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Now go to verse 14. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Love can be risky, vulnerable. But Joseph, like Jesus, showed the love. What did Jesus say on the cross that did him wrong? Father, forgive them, right? That's love speaking from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Finally, we see the commandment of love. Now, it's not a suggestion. Son, take out the trash. That's not a suggestion. It's a command to love. John, the Revelator, John the Beloved, God used to pin down John, the book of John is full of showing us the love of God. And the three letters of John, all about the love of God. And then Revelation talking about how God spares the church. Talking about the love of God, coming back for his church. Amen? But here we see the commandment, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This commandment knocks the walls out of any definition that would limit your scope of love. Not Jesus loved the disciples, yes, he loved them to the end. And he said, by this all men will know what? When we show the love of God, when sinners come in here, when lost people come in here, they need to see not this clique and that group and that group. They need to see one body, the church. The church is not a place we come to. A church is a family we belong to. Amen? We love. We got to be welcoming, loving. The commandment knocks out. We're to love as he loved. Love is to be the distinguishing mark of the Christian. It is especially difficult to love sometimes like Jesus until we receive the love of Jesus. Listen, you can't love others. You can't love people like you ought to love if you don't have the love of Jesus in your heart. Amen? You've got to be born again. I wonder if that's why John 3:16 comes before John 13:34. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What? For you. Amen? For you. Seth Wilson said, Christianity is not so much saying I'm right and you're wrong, as much as it is saying I love Jesus and Jesus loves you. I added that last part. How much do we look forward to washing feet? How much do we love serving? How much do we love one another? William Barclay said, the world is full of people who are standing on their dignity when they should be kneeling at the feet of their brethren. Real love is not burdensome. Genesis 29:20 says that Jacob served Laban another 7 years for Rachel, but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. How would you like to serve someone 14 years for a woman? And you really wonder, Man, do they love me like he loved her? Church, what are some ways we can show love? Number one, as a church, again, a lot of times we don't see one another until Sunday. There's a midweek service. I can't always come because I'm working. Some of you may have to work. But I encourage you to come to the midweek service. Come Sunday nights. But you know what? It's not just in here. There's needs that maybe that Brother Ken sends out often, emails. You know, how we can minister to one another. Let's do our part in loving, reaching out. Reaching out to one another in the church. But also reaching out to those in the community without Christ. One thing at Lighthouse, where we came from, at every doorway of the church, there was at least 2 racks of tracts. We printed our own tracts at the church, and pastor would encourage you to grab those tracts. When you're at the gas station pumping gas, it was so easy to pick up a tract and reach over the cross of the gas pump and say, hey, I want to give you some good news. When you're in the drive-thru, when you like to eat, hand him a tract. You don't know what God will do with that tract. I'm sure there's some tracts here. Take some. Pass them out. Go the extra mile. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray today there'd be one here today that didn't know the love of Jesus Christ. Lord, today, I hope I gave a word that would call them to come to a place. I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking and working in their heart. They'd come to know you, Jesus, today. Lord, I pray for the church, God. Often, I pray that we, as a people of God, would be mindful of how we act and what we say and what we do in the church. Then we would do our own self-checklist. Lord, am I loving like you? Do I love others like you love me? Am I being friendly? Am I being welcoming? Am I serving, Lord? Lord, help us to be the people that the world may know that we are people of love, people that love you, people that have been changed by the power of the gospel. We're not any better other than the fact we're saved. We're born again. Lord, I pray that you might do a work in the hearts of believers today, that we might do a checkup. We may get our hearts right. We might have a renewed commitment to serve, to love, to help, to give, to be involved, maybe to be more welcoming. I pray that you do a mighty work in our invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother.